Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at ComfortKeepers.com.
It's the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. Today, we talked to the manager of the Traverse City Pit Spitters about spitting pits.
I don't even know if I know my technique. I know it's not very good.
We'll talk about baseball as well. First, though, some headlines. State and national experts warn that climate change could worsen this summer's extreme weather, like heat, storms, and wildfire smoke. Most of Michigan already saw the wettest spring on record. Richard Rood at the University of Michigan says the state is already experiencing the effects of climate change.
So the events we're seeing, like the flood we just saw, this might have been extreme in this previous normal period. But what we've been experiencing, especially in the last decade or so, is that this curve is moving in this direction.
Annual temperature and precipitation averages in our state have only increased since 1970. Experts say wildly swinging temperatures and frost could affect this year's cherry crop. A recent fruit crop report from Michigan State University Extension says the pollination window for cherries was cut short with cold, rainy weather this spring. Cherry growers say they have used frost fans to help prevent damage to their blooms. One farmer saying it costs $400 an hour to run those fans. Too early to know exactly what cherry crops will yield this year, but growers say they are hoping for warmer weather in the coming weeks.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd.
Baseball is back. Okay, so Major League Baseball has been back. But today, the Traverse City Pit Spitters start their season with a two-game series on the road in Kalamazoo. Their home opener is on Wednesday against the Rockford Rivets. So, what should we expect from the team this year? It's hard to say. Manager Todd Reed explains why.
You know, when you're managing in collegiate summer league, you are creating a roster really from scratch. Now, we do have some returning players, but oftentimes the majority of your players are going to be new, and we may not have seen them. And so, because our players are coming from all over the country.
I think a lot of people will say, oh, the Pit Spitters, it's our minor league baseball team. It's different. It's a collegiate summer league. What does that mean?
This is a team that's made up of college players from all over the country that have remaining eligibility. And they come to Traverse City for the summer, oftentimes, like I say, sent by their coaches to develop.
Well, and there are Pit Spitters alums who have gone on to Major League Baseball.
Yeah, we have now six guys that have played in the big leagues. And we have a group text of 22 or 23 now that are playing just affiliated professional baseball. So they're on the track to give themselves a chance to play in the major leagues.
When you do what you do, is it possible to watch a baseball game like a normal person?
It is not. We play in the Northwoods. Well, I should say in April and September it is. But during our season, we play 72 games in 76 days. And that is the draw. Like when we talk about these guys playing professional baseball, we share that the Northwoods League is the best opportunity for them to prepare themselves to play in that pro setting.
You are a professor. So if we want to get fancy about this, you are actually Dr. Todd Reed, and your doctorate is in global sport leadership. And in particular, you did a dissertation on team building and the student athlete experience. And I'm curious, in your position as the manager of a collegiate summer league team, what do you think about when you're thinking about the experience that you want your players to have? Mm-hmm.
I love that question. And I think it's, you know, it's oftentimes in these collegiate summer leagues, it's about players, you know, getting at bats and coming up here just to get their work in, if you will. But I think any team you have, coaches in particular, owe it to players to give them an opportunity to develop both on and off the field. What I would hope for out of that is that then they stay connected to you. We have a group text of 23 guys, you know, that are in affiliated baseball, and they are all the time kind of texting back and forth and rooting for each other. And so, yeah, that can be pretty special. So I want to say we're the only collegiate summer league team. Maybe I doubt we're the only baseball team, but we're certainly, I think, the only collegiate summer league team that does a book club.
Really? What do you got cooking right now?
Well, I don't have one picked out. I was just at Horizon kind of shopping around. Last summer, we did Project Hail Mary.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so that was very fun because I knew that there was going to be a movie. I didn't know the movie was going to be so big.
Mm-hmm.
We had about a dozen guys on the team that read it. And so then that group had their own group text, and they were texting during their baseball season this March, like, hey, when are you guys going to go see the movie, you know?
Yeah.
So we try to do things like that.
So last season was nothing to sneeze at, the second highest win total in franchise history, and this winning streak, this 13-game winning streak in July that had to feel really good. But setting that aside for a minute, when you get to the end of the season, regardless of what the numbers say, how do you know if you've given your players the right experience? What feels good to you when you're wrapping it up for the year?
Man, when I got into this, I was, you know, lifetime college coach. And I really had a hard time believing that I would be able to create relationships with players in such a short window of time, similar to that over 4 years. You know, when you're a college coach and you get to know them through the recruiting process and you have them for 4 years and they're at your house. And, you know, I just really doubted that you could have that kind of connection with players. And I have been proved wrong. And last year I had more guys come into my office on their way out. And just to give some context, they see when the season ends, like when you get beat, we got beat in the semifinal last year at home. And literally within an hour after the game, the guys are packed up and gone. So like there's not a lot of closure. Like,
you don't have an end of season barbecue or
something. Because they're so late already. Some of them are, you know, some of them are even a little bit late for getting back to their teams. And so it's all happening very fast. But I had more guys come in, walk up to me, walk into our office and tell me they loved me than I've ever had. And, you know, for that's kind of one of my things is I want us to be able to say things like that. And as 18 to 22 year olds, that's hard, guys. It's hard for them to do that oftentimes, but to be able to tell your best friend, to tell your coaches, to tell your, you know, that you had a great experience and that was the way they did it. And so for me, that just meant everything.
Jeez, Todd, sometimes there is crying in baseball.
There was a lot of crying in baseball that night. Not because we lost. I mean, we certainly wanted to play one more game, but just that feeling of like they had a good experience.
Before we let you go, 3-question lightning round.
Oh boy. All right. Here we go, Ed.
Ready?
Yeah.
What do you think of the name Pit Spitters?
Love it. I think it's one of the best baseball or sports names, and in particular logos in the industry.
Besides your team, what is the coolest name in the league?
Oh, I guess a lightning round. I'm gonna go with the Kenosha Kingfish.
I'm a little partial to the Dock Spiders.
You know what? That's a good one. Both are great places to go play too.
Have you, Todd Reed, manager of the Traverse City Pit Spitters, ever spit a pit?
I have, yeah. We've had, during the Cherry Festival, some years we'll have a representative of the festival come out and we'll do it as a team. So.
And are you like air cannon through the tongue or just brute force?
I don't even know if I know my technique. I know it's not very good.
Todd Reed, thank you so much for your time and best wishes this season.
Oh, thanks. I hope people come out to Turtle Creek Stadium. We've got a great product and they're young guys that love to have fun. And our organization does a great job with families and people who come out to watch the game. They never leave without having a great time.
And that is the Up North Lowdown for this Monday, May 25th.
I've never been out in the woods before and thought, I wonder if I'm going to see Bigfoot. I don't really have that much interest in the topic, to be honest. But when people in Northeast Ohio reported 8 sightings in 5 days, I was intrigued.
Northeast Ohio is on Bigfoot Watch.
You guys are in the middle of the storm. I mean, bam, there's a Bigfoot, bam, there's a Bigfoot.
There has not been such an intense rash of Bigfoot encounters anywhere in the country since the late 1970s.
Yes.
What was it like for these small rural communities to be at the center of the Bigfoot universe? And did it change what they believed? That's next time on Points North.
Find Points North at pointsnorthpodcast.org or through your favorite podcast app.